What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds TV. I'm on time, 1 minute late. You know, they always say black people ain't on time, but I want to dispel that rumor and that myth. Again, if you need any promotion, hit me up. info@DoggyDiamondsTV. Promote on all my social media platforms. You know, if you need any promotion, holla at me. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on today's guest. Shout out to the chat room. I'm going to bring on today's guest, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to the people. So we live. Introduce yourself to the people.
Peace and power. Salute. My name is Kareem Blaze Johnson, straight out of East New York, Brooklyn. Hip hop historian, anger management specialist, anti-gang violence representative. You dig what I'm saying? You know, all around Brooklynite. Peace and power to everybody.
I'm glad that you said hailing from East New York, because I was going to ask you where you was from. So you already let them know off the bat. East New York. What is East New York? Because is Starrett City East New York?
Starrett City is East New York. It always has been. But what confuses people is that they never shared our zip code. Oh. They never had 11207. But, you know, which is very, very ironic that the way I got to East New York as a youngin was my father was one of the first construction supervisors to build Starrett City.
Whoa.
And since it was built on marshlands, he didn't take the apartment that they were offering people who were working on the structure at that time. So we end up in Penn Workman. And I've been out there since 1973.
And if you know, I think a lot of people like to make fun of people's age. Do you mind revealing your age to the people?
No, I'll be 52 this birthday. Okay. This February coming up.
So that's why I called you on Facebook, my big bro, because you got me by a lot of years. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times when I went on the Gangsta Chronicles, I was trying to explain to, you know, some of the brothers on the West Coast what New York City was like in the 90s. I was a youngin'. You had me, you know, by a lot of years. What was New York City like in the 90s? And we're not glorifying. I just want people to know what we really survived. And you was older than me, so it must have been even worse for you.
It was in the 90s, man. I missed half of the 90s because I was incarcerated in 95.
Okay.
So I could attest to from what the 80s was like.
Oh, I wasn't outside.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't outside.
And I'm talking about at the most important part of my life.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And the renaissance of hip hop, like in 86, from 86 to about 90, 91, it was pure terror in the streets. I only clipped little spots of the 90s because I did two bids. And I was overseas. So from 88 to 90, I was in the army.
Oh.
I came home in 90 and got back into school where I was a nursing student in BMCC. And at that time, it was still good and wild. You know, the streets was nuts because there was still plenty of money in the streets. So either you was hustling, you was taking money, you was boosting, you was doing all type of things, man. People were jostling. So it was a tough time for a lot of people.
So you also served the country too, though?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, I went in the army with the intentions of getting guns. That was the rumor, that you would go in the army and you could get guns and things of that nature, and then you could come home and do what we was doing in the street anyway. You know what I'm saying? Which was taking money. That was just something that I did because I was following my elders. You know, so I was always taught never to get high. You know, most of my elders were stick-up kids, strong arm robbery type dudes. So you know, of a certain come up, certain cloth. You dig? So I'm thinking if I go into service, I can get these guns and come home and we could get busy.
Yeah. You know? True Brooklyn mentality. Also, I wanted people to know pocket digging. Pocket digging was a big thing for us in Brooklyn, you know, from Yasa to Nostrand. Could you tell the people how we was united because we all dug pockets? So you could be from a different part of town. We might not have got along, but when we hit the city, we was all together.
It was a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
It was a whole different... Well, pocket digging allowed me to put myself in a different space as far as self-esteem and self-beliefs. I was born into the nation, so I always had knowledge of self. Mm-hmm. I always had a specific type of discipline. My father traveled through from the Nation of Gods and Earths to the Nation of Islam, and then he became a practicing Sunni Muslim by the time I was two. Mm. So I had a specific type of discipline coming up as far as anti-establishment and looking at myself as a man. Now, when I was in the streets, digging pockets elevated that because we had a specific code and a specific target. Specific target was white capitalists that Facts. We knew had money in their pocket, and you are taught how to see that money and distinguish it from a wallet or anything else. So they had money clips or cash in their pocket. So we had a different, and I still have a different view of white people, white men in particular, white capitalists on Wall Street or 4750 from Diamond Block or anywhere in Midtown.
Yeah, because I wanted people to know, not to cut you, but I wanted people to know that the pocket digging wasn't black on black crime. No, it was going to get them. It was going to the city getting them because we knew they was coming from Wall Street. They was taking the train. They was in the Diamond Districts. Times Square, especially Midtown. Midtown was a gold mine. You know what I'm saying? Midtown. Even the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah. The Brooklyn Bridge. We used to call it the bike shop because that's where you go get your bike. You snatch it right off the bike. And I also wanted to educate the youth that the reason that we was doing that, and I know you was off the porch way before I was even coming outside, but reason why we was doing that because we literally was hungry. Like, we really ate the food that we took. We really, you know, took the money and did stuff with it to support. It wasn't just like, yo, let's just go wild out. We didn't have there was no internet. There was nothing to keep us preoccupied. It was just chaos. And then, unfortunately, that's how you made your name in the street, how you got busy.
Yeah. And again, like you said, it was individuals from different neighborhoods, from different sections of Brooklyn. So you trying to catch up and compete with your peers from Cypress, right? From Pink Houses, from Nostrand Ave, from Clinton Hills, you know what I'm saying? From Flatbush. It was different people who was going to Midtown getting busy. So if you coming out of the house and you stepping out, you like, well, shit, if they took 52, I got to go take 6,500. You understand? And you competing with these dudes and basically getting your weight up. You know what I'm saying? And listen, you're going to have skirmishes and things of that nature, but we respected each other because we knew what it meant to get caught and to go through that system and not hold each other down going through. Because remember, we're not going through the system with some bum shit. We're going through there with low gooses, herringbones, rope chains, and we little dudes. We talking about we 15, 16, 17 going through the system with bigger dudes and older men. So we got to hold it down. You're not coming outside the house. You definitely not coming digging if you want some snitch shit or you ain't got no knuckle game. Because we going up against these men. We going up against these crackers and these detectives who not playing with you once you get caught.
What about the guardian angels? Could you tell the people about the war with the guard?
They was food. Anytime we seen them, we jumped out at them.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? Which is surprising me now that they still believe that they could be effective.
They still was out there.
Listen, anybody who was not part of that immediate clique, and if you didn't have a name, like if I didn't know slopping them, you dig what I'm saying?
You're talking Marcy. You talking about Marcy.
That's an issue. You know what I'm saying? So we all knew each other, and you got, you know what I'm saying? You're okay. you got that name because other dudes seen you get busy and they knew how you handled yourself.
But you said something very important. But you said something very important earlier. You said knuckle game. What is the knuckle game?
Knuckle game is being able to defend yourself, whether you know how to box or you know how to street fight. Mm. You had a knuckle game. I had a knuckle game because I was boxing since I was 12. So I was in the Golden Gloves when I was 15, 16, 17, right? So I'm in Midtown with a knuckle game. Now, mind you, we talking about taking money from white people in broad daylight on the street. You see what I'm saying? Little dudes. Now, we had, I know in the East, we had a certain criteria for the chump. He got to be 23 and over, but not over 50. You dig what I'm saying? Somebody who can handle himself.
It was rules. Yeah, it was rules to the robbery. No ladies. He should be able to ladies. Handle himself. Yeah, yeah.
If I'm a kid, if I'm an adolescent, and you got 5,200 in your clothes, you should be able to handle that. You should be able to keep your bread. Once I got it, it's mine. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So now we got DTs that are in their 20s, 30s. You know what I'm saying? They got on their belts. They got on, you know, hammers. We got to be able to handle that.
DTs is detectives for y'all that don't know. That's Brooklyn talk. We call it detective DT. So if y'all wondering what a DT is.
You see what I'm saying? So when you're coming out the door and you know, listen, that was a job for us. Mm-hmm. Them dudes is on the train with their newspaper and their little Tropicana. We got our Tropicana and our newspaper. We come into Midtown right along with them. So when they go into rush hour, we go into rush hour too. Bright and early. Y'all going to work and we coming to get y'all. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Yeah, so we up and early and we up and at them. So listen, they better be able to hold it down.
So simple as that. How important was the... We call it 5 minutes too. A lot of people don't know what 5 minutes mean. But how important was the 5 minutes? What is explain to them what 5 minutes is and how important was it?
Well, listen, if you can go five, right, and stand tall, man to man against another man, right, in the street, that's important. That's important. That's showing that, listen, I got the courage enough to stand on my own and meet whatever fate that's coming to me, whether I get a black eye, whether I get knocked out, you dig what I'm saying? Whether I get two-piece, I got to hold that down. That's that 5 minutes. And sometimes that's all you're going to get depending on your people behind you. Because if you can't handle your business in 5 minutes, son, I got to jump in. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to rumble. So you're going to go to five. You dig?
And then the 5 minutes was a fair fight. And then it was, sometimes, remember the 5 minutes was, we going to shoot the five, then we going to go get a 40. Then we going to go get a 40.
We either going to get a 40 or we going to go take money together.
Facts.
Simple as that. It's no bullshit after that. Mm-hmm. Listen, in the East, we had dudes that shot 30 minutes, 40 minutes, drink a 40.
Man rounds, yeah, the rounds, yeah.
Fighting again.
Yeah.
Right? You fighting all night. But then you're going to see him tomorrow. Yo, what up, son? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You dig what I'm saying? You're going to continue that. But all that, you know, whispering and backbiting and, you know, trying to line a dude up, we didn't have that. Because at the end of the day, we was all we had in the streets. It was adolescence against the system. Mm-hmm. Youth on the move. You dig what I'm saying? It was us against them.
You took it back like that.
Family.
Maybe like you on the move.
That's it. You on the move. And it's 30, 40 deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because when we say deep, too, remember when Mobb Deep came out with the name Mobb Deep, we knew what deep meant because deep was. And also, hold on. Before I go there, could you tell, because I talked about this before to my audience, could you tell the audience what Coney Island meant on Easter? What did Coney Island mean on Easter?
Listen. Coney Island, first of all, if you're not from Coney Island, you got to get fresh to go out there.
Facts.
But in getting fresh, y'all better be deep. Because if you're not at least 15, 20 solid dudes, everybody ready to go out, don't even go out there.
Facts.
Because you was getting in some shit. I don't care who is out there. I don't care who you are. they are going to form on you.
Especially, and where was it at? By the Himalaya. Tell them about the Himalaya.
Right near the Himalaya. Right near the Himalaya.
Yeah,
where all the drama start. Because they know you're not from out there. But, you know, it's funny to me how I look at these kids and I don't know where they from and how they moving. We knew each other by what we had on.
Facts.
Right? I knew what a Bed-Stuy dude looked like. A Bed-Stuy dude knew what an East New York dude looked like, was how we wore our low or how we wore our New Balance or if we had on New Balance or head or Fila sweatsuit.
Wow,
we
knew each head. Other wow.
by what we had on.
My era was Carhartt. My era is when the Carhartt hit. When people was wearing certain Carhartts. And then the Queens dudes took Carhartt. The Lost Boys took Carhartt and we stopped rocking it. Also 40 Deuce too. We can't forget 40 Deuce on Easter too.
Oh yeah.
But this ain't the Disney 40 Deuce.
You might survive. You wasn't surviving Coney Island.
Because remember how long that R train used to take?
Yeah.
That R train, them yellow trains in New York used to take forever. See, if the movie The Warriors, I know you love The Warriors like I love The Warriors. That was real when you used to get on the train, because then you had Decepts, you had Autobots, you had Low Lives, you had the A-Team, you had us, we was the Raiders. You had so many different gangs in New York City, but the gangs was homegrown. It was made up from New York. You know what I'm saying? Like the New York gangs. So explain to the people, you said you was locked up in 9-5, so you seen the inception of the Bloods in prison.
Oh yeah, the blood started in 9-3 when I came home from the first state bid.
Okay,
I started seeing little trickles of them because I knew some of the first ones because they was God body. Most of the first ones was God body. Mm. So a little black hen dude and on these little dudes, they were coming. They were living in the Bing. First of all, they wasn't living nowhere else. Mm. They was Bing monsters. Because they was putting in a lot of work. You understand? So when I came back in 95, that's when it was really getting legs. And by the time I got up north in 96, it had exploded on the island already. So it was just filtering up north. That's when a lot of them started coming up north, and I was seeing them in downstate, you know, Brooklyn and Joker and all of them dudes started coming through, you know, Shaquell, Peace to Quells and all of them. They started coming up top in 9-6. You know what I'm saying? And then they really started getting, because the state system wasn't aware.
Yeah, they didn't take it serious. They didn't take it serious.
Didn't take it serious. So a lot of the COs up there didn't know what it meant when they were stacking, didn't know their language. Didn't know that they didn't care about a prayer rug. They was eating dudes in Juma and all that. They didn't know none of that.
They was violating Juma prayer. Wow.
Listen. By the time they, because you talking about from 9-3, 9-4, 9-5 to 9-6. That's when they was at their height. This is when they at their strongest. The numbers is tipping the scales. What really was scaring people. And I'm going to keep it 100, as they used to say, I love you, dog. You know what I'm saying? When you heard that word love, and you seen these black dudes, these little black men saying they love each other, and then right after that, they put in some work and somebody's leaking, that was scaring the shit out of people. Because they were solid. Seeing them, I love you, doggy. You dig what I'm saying? I love you. You dig? And you knew right after that some work was getting in, because that's how they spoke to each other. Nobody else was saying that. Nobody else was saying that to each other, especially no young black men in the system. That acknowledgement of love mean that they're going to hold each other down. And then right after that, you see somebody leaking, that shit took it up a notch. So 9-5, 9-6, they was at their height. And then they went up top. So up top is brand new. You just hearing trickles of it, but you don't see it until you see them coming through downstate with the red rags and all that. And the state system ain't know. They couldn't, you know, them crackers didn't know. This is not like, you know, they had years to study the 5% Nation of Gods and Earths, and you got COs calling themselves Yaqub and all this shit. This was something brand new. So they was serious. Because you had dudes trying to drop flags and all that shit once they got up top. and they wasn't having it. They was trying to keep their numbers strong. You understand? So it was a whole different feel to the movement when it was very strong.
So let me switch gears really quick. We're going to come back to a little bit. Well, we might just do another session, just history of BK and all that. But when did you first start dealing with the music industry? Because you told me some stories behind the scene about the music industry. That's why I'm bringing you here before the people. But I wanted to give them a rundown of you and your experiences. What was your first dealings with the music industry?
My first dealings with the industry was as an artist. You know, I was a youngin'. I came up on Cold Crush tapes and my old timers going to Harlem World and bringing the tapes back and we having street jams. My really first experience with knowing people in the industry was being a youngin' coming through Brookline and seeing Stethosonic and Daddy O in them, right? Because my grandmoms lived in Brookline, so I always seen Daddy O and Fuquan in them and they would throw these jams in 260 Park and, you know, I always knew of it. So I was around that. And then on my side, when I went across the boulevard, T-Funk and Bad Boys that made Inspector Gadget was right there. Right? So I was right in the mix of that. But for me, you know, trying to spit and things of that nature, I was part of a collective out of Clinton Hills, which is kind of, you know, real ironic. It was a white woman named Michelle Torn Travis. She had a group of everything hip-hop. She had graph writers, she had DJs, she had dancers, and me and my partner was the only MCs that used to, you know, frequent her house. She had a crib right there on Green and Clinton. Wow. And, the building's still there, and the dancers were the dude Stretch that went on to dance for Mariah Carey and Houdini and Michael Jackson.
He's in the Dream Lover video,
Right. Yeah. That's my dude. So he was part of that collective. So that's when I, you know, and my partner, his father used to finance our little, you know, studio time and things of that nature. But, you know, we was just bullshitting, basically, you know, trying to get our weight up. And then when 86 hit, Scoob Lover went to Jeff with me. So Scoob was dancing with JAC. And I think
and Lays from
right.
They was the what was they called?
They were
IOU dancers. IOU dancers.
IOU and
they used to wear the Coca-Cola shirts, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Union Square and all that, you know, I'm in the mix of all that. But again, we digging pockets, we in the street. So it wasn't like we took that as seriously as we could, but I was always in that mix. To get a foundation of really getting behind the scenes, when I came home from the Army, Gangstar was in the East. So Big Gordy and Fat Gary and them was always doing videos and things with them. And the kid Spider-Man from Spider-Man and Freeze that did Bell Biv DeVoe music.
Poison.
Right? They from Linden. So I'm they big homie. You see what I'm saying? So whenever they going somewhere, I'm going somewhere. So I'm getting my ears to what's going on in the industry and things of that nature. Always being behind the scenes, always behind stage and things like that. So I'm not, you know, I'm who I am. I'm getting my own money. So I'm not a groupie. You see what I'm saying? I'm in the mix getting my knowledge of how this shit move. Long story short, when I get my first bid in 90, when I was in BMCC, I was introduced to U-Guard and AZ, right? AZ from the East, I met through one of my partners who passed away. So he gave me the nod, yo, A's a cool dude, little dude. All right, cool. We end up in BMCC together. So it's me, AZ, U-Guard, and Prince, Panama P.I. from Jamaica Queens.
Whoa. So U-Guard used to hang with AZ?
They didn't hang together at that time, but they was cool because, again, they some of the flyest dudes in the school.
Wow.
So if a chick wasn't on U-Guard, she was on AZ and Prince.
And we talking about AZ from the firm. I don't want people to not think.
Right.
Not AZ from the firm. Yeah.
So all of us was in that mix.
Wow.
And my little cousins was managed by Akinelli at the time.
Wow.
My little cousins sing. They end up singing on the Bronx Tale soundtrack, the Flamingos old school song.
Only Have Eyes For You?
Yes.
Wow.
That was my little cousin group.
Wow.
So I'm in the mix consistently. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? But again, I'm in the street. I'm just taking money. I'm a little bit ahead of my time with that.
Mm-hmm.
I end up going up top. Mm-hmm. U-Guard comes up top behind me. So he don't know exactly where he know me from. So I had to remind him, yeah, I know you. You dig what I'm saying? We BMCC. Oh, okay. So now I'm holding him down during the bid. Me and him get tight.
Mm.
He goes home before me. I come down. You know, we in work release together. He actually goes to my crib, you know, to get my clothes so I could get up out of there. Before, you couldn't come out of Queensboro without having clothes.
Mm.
You dig what I'm saying? So this is how tight me and him get. So now I hear Protect Your Neck on Stretching Barbito radio show.
Wow.
So now I'm calling him, telling him, like, yo, son, you heard these dudes? You know, I'm trying to spit the bars, and he's like, yo, that's us. Mm. I'm like, that's who? He's like, that's me. I said, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is 9-2. We both just coming home. He's like, nah, son, that's me. I'm going to introduce you to all of them.
What was his name when you knew him originally in school?
It was Baby Yui. That's how I met him, Baby Yui. He always had that name.
Gotcha.
You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we tight. Mm. That, you know, for that little bit of time that we did up top, you know, we got tight. So, you know, I end up going out the shop. I'm thinking he bullshitting. He comes from Staten Island. We drive out there. And again, he introduced me to about 6 of them at that time.
Mm.
So I'm like, yo, these are these dudes for real. He like, yeah, this is us. And at that time, the single was just getting traction.
Mm.
They used to go around Park Hill, and when they saw each other, they would spit the bars in slow motion. You know what I'm saying? To each other, laughing. And I'm like, yo. So I meet Deck, I meet Meth, I meet Ray.
Mm.
All in that same night. I meet Dirty a while later, and I don't meet Ghost until way down the line. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I met them, so I'm looking at them like, yo, they don't even know that they're gonna blow. Now, mind you, we talking Stretch Armstrong show. We not talking them on, you know,
Hot 97
and all that. We just talking from Stretch. So I'm saying, yo, son, why y'all still in the street? Y'all getting ready to blow because this is what the industry wants. Mind you, I've been dibbling dabbling since 88. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of this shit. I know that this is what the world been waiting for. A super group. Everybody nice. Everybody can spit. And they all have their own different flavor with it. And they got these karate shit effects. I said, yo, this is encompassing everything that New York is about.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna blow. Now I'm telling them this shit from Protect Your Neck. They didn't believe it, doggy.
Mm.
Straight up. They were still pitching, still hand-to-handing, still in Park Hill. I'm looking at it like, yo, these dudes is crazy. They getting ready to blow.
Mm.
I don't think they believed it until Can It All Be So Simple, right? That's when it's really, you know, picking up. So I'm like, okay, they doing their thing. On the flip side of town, A is writing for Hev. You dig what I'm saying?
What? Whoa. A is writing for who?
AZ is writing for Hev.
Heavy
D? In these sessions, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, you just dropped the whoa.
People don't know that. I didn't know it because I didn't know he could spit. But mind you, I didn't even know you gardening was doing it because, again, people in the street is in the street. You know who getting money. You know who's in the street doing what. Dudes that was spitting wasn't getting no bread like that.
Yeah, so the rappers the rappers was bums. You didn't even respect the rappers.
Yeah, they wasn't getting no
So what
money.
Was AZ's name? Impressed. What was AZ's name in school?
AZ.
Oh, it was always AZ. Okay.
It was always, as long as I knew him, he went by AZ. Okay. And that's his government name. Anthony Cruz. So he was always AZ. That's how I met him.
Mm, okay.
You see? So, and I didn't meet him in PMCC. I met him in the street.
Got you.
I met him in the Bammers.
Mm.
And then I seen him in school, and That's what it was.
What school you said you went to again?
BMCC.
But no, high school.
Oh, I went to Jeff.
Oh, no, no.
I'm an East New York dude all the way around.
By the time I was outside, I'm not going to Jeff. Jeff and ED, I'm not going to Jeff or Eastern District. I'm not going nowhere near them schools. Yeah. We might have.
It was drama.
Sarah J, that's the school I went up to, but I didn't go in. I was enrolled in there, but I never went. But ED and Eastern District and Jeff, nah. And even automotive was crazy too.
Automotive back was, in my day was dangerous. But I'm an East New York dude. I went to 306, I went to Gersh, and I went to Jeff.
Wow. Yeah.
And in my graduating class in Jeff was me, Scoob Lover, and Riddick Bowe. We were all in the same graduating class. When he was in Golden Gloves, I was in Golden Gloves. You know, those is peoples.
I met Scoob when I was probably like 15 years old, and he had a dude with him named Slap. Mm-hmm. Slap became Lil Fame. So I knew me and Lil Fame knew each other since we was little. And I didn't even hear of M.O.P. I just knew Slap, Lil Fame. And then I seen The Hill That's Real. And then they did How About Some Hardcore. And I'm like, yo, that's my dude Fame. That's my dude Fame. So that's how he used to always be with Scoob. Because, you know, Scoob and Laze is like this.
Yes.
They was dancing together. You know what I'm saying? Laze was a dancer. So.
And what's crazy about The Hill That's Real is right now, my day job is in the old Prospect Plaza. Now it's a brand new community center.
Didn't they tear it down though?
They tore it down. They put a brand new building, a brand new structure, and I'm working in there now. That's what's crazy.
And people don't know Biggie's talking about Fame in the morning.
My
nigga Fame up in Prospect. You know what I'm saying? My nigga from the niggas in the hill up in Brownsville. He's talking about Little Fame from Prospect. Like people don't know that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna give you that. He's talking about Little Fame in Warning. You know what I'm saying? That's what he's talking about. Because it was called The Hill. Because you got Ocean Hill and you got Brownsville.
It's up the hill.
Yeah.
It's literally a hill.
That's why
I'm working remote now, because we had a flood in there, because the way it's structured, every time it rains, we get a big flood and it destroyed the center. So, you know, we working remote now. But, you know, people don't know. And it's Terror Dome over there now. Them little dudes is getting busy.
Yeah, because it was crazy.
That's one of the spots I frequent. Yeah, they putting them, they killing each other off. They're doing a lot of stuff that, you know, we trying to address on a regular basis.
Yeah.
We're
going to get into that. So, AZ is do you know of any songs he might have penned for Heavy D, or is just
I know he was always writing, he was always in the studio. I'm thinking he wrote Hev's verse on Don't Curse, cuz that's the first time I heard that he spit. You know what I'm saying? He brought me to the crib. He was still living in the Bahamas at the time. And he's like, yo, I'm writing. I'm like, writing? He's like, yeah, I'm writing. I gotta go to the studio. And another one of my peoples was like, yo, you know Son Mess with Hev. I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. I said, oh, you know, again, that's my homie. You know what I'm saying? I know him from school and being cool. You dig what I'm saying? All that. Like I said, I don't. The industry, what it is, what it was to me. If anything, most of them dudes I looked at as food, especially if they wasn't my peoples.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm seeing dudes, you know, running around, y'all got cables on your neck. Trying to snatch that shit off.
Yeah, facts.
We was in Union Square, you know, Red Alert Sister, whoever the hell the chick was from uptown, dude she with, whoever, we banging them all day. Don't come to Union Square, don't wear it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about it getting took. Don't come to Latin Quarters with it. We taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not looking at rap moves because we got more than them.
Yeah.
We digging pockets, so we got 30, 40 pair of sneakers in the crib too. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They was looking up to us and they was spitting what they knew we were doing. They wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I laugh at these dudes now that you get a sneaker deal, so all of a sudden you got a million pair of kicks in the crib, and now all of a sudden you that dude. Niggas, they gave you to you for free. We was getting that dragon crackers down the street. You know what I'm saying? Earning
Facts.
That.
Facts. Facts.
So if I got 5 or 6 pair of sneakers that I put that work in. Facts. Not because somebody gave me a deal or I got a big check, you know what I'm saying? Because I did a show. Yeah. What are we doing here? But that's how they flipped the game, and that's how the streets got tore up.
Yeah. So you also, when did you step on like the management and get them likes up in the chat rooms too, man? I got like 700 something people in here and I only got like 100 mm-hmm. likes. Come on, man. Y'all be liking other people's stuff that don't even really be giving y'all this information like that. I can't keep begging or asking either, man. I just need that love. You know what I'm saying? If you rock with me and you rock what I do, that should be automatic. But let's get back mm-hmm. to the story. When did you start getting on the behind the scenes working? Because you did some management and you did some road management. When did you go behind the scenes on that and started seeing how the industry was?
I got behind the scenes. One of my partners had ran into me. Now, me and him still to this day, if I don't see him in 2 years, yo, I know he getting low somewhere. You know what I'm saying? One of them type of situations. He ran into me on a mission one time. I see him. I'm lining something up. Oh, what up, kid? What up? What you doing? Yo, come through. I got an office in Midtown. You know what I'm saying? We doing management now. We managing groups. I was like, really? I said, okay. So I go see him. They was one of the first black management firms, all black. You know what I'm saying? So they had, at the time, they was going through a legal dispute because they the ones who really discovered Mary. Everybody getting hip on that little bullshit fluff story that Andre did this for her and all this other craziness. No,
and Jeff Red. And Jeff Red always get all the credit. Yeah.
She had two other managers that really pushed her through. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? So I was part of that team. My man brought me in. He was like, yo, this is what we doing. Come through. So the major person that they had was Miss Jones.
Mm.
Right, so now I'm seeing how this shit is moving. Right, I never asked nobody about their contracts and things of that nature because, again, I'm in the street, I'm doing my thing. Now I'm behind the scenes and I'm seeing how it's working, how they do shows, how they book tours, who really handles the money, how they got to go to Burke Fidel to get the checks because he's the accountant of the entire industry. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? All this little funny shit that a lot of people don't know.
Burt Bedell was one of them.
He was listening. But again, when people talk that Illuminati talk and talk about forces in the industry, early on I saw that. Because I'm like, okay, if you over here getting money and you over there getting money and you over here getting money, why y'all all got the same accounting?
Facts.
You see what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. got somebody that signed to Arista, somebody assigned a Def Jam, and somebody over here that's at Sleeping Bag or something like that, but y'all still all got Burt Bedell as your accountant.
Yes.
So that shows that the money is still in one lane, right? But a lot of them wasn't hip to it.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't hip to it. I'm looking at it every time we at Burt Bedell office, is somebody else coming through. Me think, okay, now I'm going to bring the wolves. This is where we need to park up.
But you know what? I said Burt Bedell playing, but he really was everybody. He handled everybody's bread.
Yeah.
No, I was only playing, but I just knew the name. You know what I'm saying? He really handled everybody, every listen, account for every record label.
For all everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Now we in 2020 and everybody can catch up and they saying, well, this, that, but they didn't know how intricate it was. And how many dudes was really financially locked and couldn't do what their peoples thought that they could do with that bread because you really don't have it.
Mm.
But that creates animosity. That creates dudes in the street saying, well, damn, son, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that. What's up with the bread? Put me on. And it didn't work like that.
Because dudes is getting robbed for everything.
Dudes is getting robbed for everything. And then again, you don't know what's behind them curtains in order for these dudes to get signed.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Ain't no Jewish white man just coming to the hood and dropping $5 million on the dude and saying, here, create a record label and do what you want to do. Who does that? He got to have you on paper or have something on you to make sure you don't breeze off. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my first take. First, you know, I was doing security for Miss Jones. and booking shows and going out on tours and stuff with her. But at the same token, again, I'm watching what's going on in Gangstar Camp. I'm watching what's going on with Spider-Man and Freeze. I'm seeing a whole lot. I'm seeing a whole lot. So I'm putting one and two and three together. And like, well, damn, I would never want to be no artist going through this bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Let me see if I could work my way up into management and things of that nature. But again, the streets is calling. I know I could go take 30, 40 grand with ease. It was just like that back then. We're talking about no cameras, nowhere. You know what I'm saying? The stick-up game was what it was, man.
So smart. So let me ask you, did you ever talk about some of the stuff you seen that was just wild, suspect, like, yo, nah? Because we didn't really know that dudes was really doing something. We didn't know the men was doing something strange for a piece of change.
Oh, yeah.
What is some of the stuff that you saw?
Oh, man. Dudes inviting you into hot tubs.
What?
Yeah, man. Listen. It's never what people think it is. It's never, I'm taking an oath, I'm pricking my finger, I'm signing in blood. It's situations that they put you in. Based on them being around you and you being around them. They prey on you the same way that a pedophile preys on a child. The same way a rapist preys and stalks a woman. Only thing now is since you're a man, they try to cater to your to whatever fetishes you may have, whatever vices you may have. So if they know you like weed or you sniffing coke or you smoking booze, they're going to get you to that point to where you're incapacitated and got your guard down. The next thing you know, they up on dudes.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of situations, again, that I witnessed and seen that I was like, damn, son, that's a little weird, don't you think? You know what I'm saying? Why does dude want us to go to the sauna? What the fuck is that?
Yeah. We want to go do yoga.
Why they inviting? You know, I seen a lot of shit, man. A lot of weird shit, you know? And again, because I'm never thirsty to be around, dude, and there's no money involved. I always play the back. So you get a little shit. Like, you may have your dude, he call you every day, all day. Then you don't see him for 2 days. Then he get a call to my, I've been in the studio 2 days. Come through. You come through and it's nobody from the hood there. It's all these funny style people from the industry. Like, something was good. And back then, you saw sprinkles of it. It's not like it is now. Now it's just
blatant. It's blatant.
It's just laying. They out, you know, you got a whole different type of, you know, switching and going on. It's just out. But back then, it was under the current. So they put you in a situation and see if you bite. Yo, let's menage this broad. Or, you know, shit like, you know, just funny style shit that a real dude is not going to be around.
See
what I'm saying? So that,
I want you people to know too. Yeah, and I want people to know too. At one time, they had every record label had like a count with car services too.
Yeah.
So you'll be getting picked up from places like a chick, and the car service to be driving you where these label heads wanted you to be, and it was you know, some of them parties was real crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because you see how now the little dudes would be popping pills. These dudes would be in there sniffing coke, doing the wildest stuff out in the open. And you like, so Cat Williams wasn't lying about some of the stuff he said he saw.
Oh, nah, never that. Listen, some of that shit was going on in the offices. You dig what I'm saying? Because remember, the industry always had a cloak and always had a curtain around it. Nobody really knew what goes on. They just see what's being presented on TV. Then remember, TV wasn't even what it was. We used to have to struggle to see hip-hop. It wasn't accepted. I'm coming from an era when they really told us, man, this shit ain't gonna last. It's a fact.
Really?
So you only saw hip-hop, maybe David Brenner bring Run DMC out. You know what I'm saying? Hot tracks and show a video here and there. If it wasn't for Uncle Ralph, a lot of us wouldn't be seen at all.
I always say that's my OG, even though we don't do the same thing, but he started it all. Yep.
He yep. started it all. Mm-hmm. So we had to struggle. So again, you don't know what's going on in the corporate office. So you go through those doors, and if you already have a feeling of astonishment when you see it, it's going to capture you. So your guard is already down because you're trying to say, well, I want to be a part of this. Yo, these old white dudes got Rolexes on and things of that nature. They got them. So now they inviting them to the crib. They inviting them here and there. But nah, son, you can't go because they know who they looking at. Why ain't he like, nah, that little dude is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Or these dudes is wild. Or they not going to be as accepting as this dude that's trying to get signed.
Mm.
So you see them doing little weird shit, but you don't pick up on it until you sit back and like, yo, that was weird.
Yeah. So because at that time, you know, Rolexes was very, very exclusive. Like to have a Rolex, it wasn't like how it is now. Cause the regular Rolex with no diamond in it might have been 30,000.
Yeah, back then, with
no diamonds in it at all. It wasn't no $5,000 Rolex or nothing like that.
Nah, we trying to take your arm off for it.
Yeah, facts.
Straight up.
Yeah.
And then, again, me being around certain people and being around certain things, that's when I start learning about Pate Philippe's and all that from back then.
What is that? The restaurant?
No. Pate Philippe is the leather band watch that's worth about $100,000.
Oh, you see what I'm saying? You said Philippe. See, that goes to show what I know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is because, again, you may take it and not know what it is. Now you bring it to 4750 and they like, yo, hold up. Where you get this from? You know what this is? So you learn because you're in the street taking bread, taking things. You have a different filter when you see the man with it on.
Let me ask you something. The first time that I had you on my channel, one of the first times, you was mad as hell because Diddy was throwing a concert at the Barclays and he was charging people, but it was a Biggie concert. What upset you so much with Diddy?
For one, I know he never meant nobody no good. At all.
Damn.
What upset me the most is when, again, I'll never forget, we did a show at Atlantic Antic, right?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, a lot of people don't know Brooklyn. Atlantic Avenue cuts off the majority of Atlantic Avenue to throw a big, they got all the vendors that come out and everybody could sell their merchandise and things. So Big and them did a show and on Atlantic Antic.
I was there.
That's
Atlantic at 4-5. Atlantic at 4-5, right by the Dunkin' Donuts. It's right by the Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. That's where the stage was set up.
At the time, Big had was Party and Bullshit. Mm-hmm. Craig Mack was already out, right, with Flavor in Your Ear and Get Down. And, you know, he was the one that was moving Bad Boy ahead.
Mm.
However, we had to put him in the limo with Miss Jones. You think what I'm saying?
Wasn't they dating? I don't want to put their bit, but they was.
No, I don't.
I always heard they was a couple.
Think so. Nah, they was very tight. They was friends.
Okay.
From what I know, because again, she was married.
I never
knew
that.
A lot of people don't know that. She was married to an older dude, drunk dude. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Yeah, she was married and had Dougie in her ear and had Ron G in her ear. So the situation that was real crazy. Yeah, one was a financial advisor, one is the co-manager. A lot was going on with that.
So, long story short, with Puffy, go ahead.
Why he was playing Craig off like he wasn't important. Like, I don't even remember him speaking to him during that little show.
Mm.
You dig what I'm saying? So I'm like, wow, he handling dude like that?
And he was bringing in the money. He was the first person to go platinum. Yeah.
He was the first one. Mm. So I'm like, wow, this dude is a creep. You know what I'm saying? And I'll never forget with Big, I don't know, maybe because he was home and he was comfortable, but look, Big Tim's wasn't, you know.
He was twisted.
What they should have been. Yeah.
He was twisted at that time.
Okay. I'm like, this kid is, you know, this dude is throwing around all his marketing money because remember, he was a marketing genius. Facts. All that shit in the movie with the Big Mac.
Big Mac facts. The picket signs. Yeah.
The picket signs. He had Tootsie Roll rappers. Bad Boy Tootsie Roll rappers. This dude had Bad Boy matchbooks. He had everything. He was doing the smash with it, but remember, it's not his bread. Mm. He's getting the bread. He's marketing. So I'm like, well, damn. Son got to go in the limo with us. You know what I'm saying? And he got Big coming through BK looking crazy. And I just always kept hearing different reckless things about him, about his attitude and the bravado. And I'm like, all right, this dude, you know, I already got a different filter. I'm coming from the East. I'm looking at this dude like, if I had him on an island, he'd be washing drawers and giving me everything. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When he put out that he was doing a concert in this dude's honor and the prices was ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, who's getting this bread?
Yeah.
And to this day, who got that bread?
Yeah.
Who got that bread?
Yeah.
Big daughter running around. She look, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
He did nobody no good. And again, it's not that I expect him to, because I already know what people do in this space and where their mentalities are. But you don't come to BK, do a show, and we can't even get a decent parking space. I mean, the parking spots in Pathmark, which is definitely, at that time, was a free lot, was $20, $30.
Yeah.
So who's getting this bread? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. But you saying that it's in this dude's honor. And I know if this dude was here, he would do a free joint.
Mm.
Especially for BK. So that should have me tight. And again, I had a lot of people naysaying up under the comments, but where the money went.
Mm. So what about you also felt the way when Craig Mack passed away and he put out a little statement. Speak on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to put out that statement prior to anybody putting out a statement because I knew how he was treating them.
Mm.
You understand? So I didn't want this new age social media, yo, that was my man. Nah, let me stop that before it even happens. So when I got the word, that's when I did the vid. Like, yo, we don't want to hear that. Mm. Because for somebody who was instrumental in getting Bad Boy off the ground, you didn't treat him. You didn't treat him as such. So don't shit on his name now that he died by some false empathy.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Certain things have to stop. And again, it's a lot of dudes like me. It's a lot of dudes of my caliber, but they fall back to the bullshit. You see what I'm saying? And that's why the industry is the way it is. Because there's no reason why we got dudes like Chuck Chill Out, Red Alert, and all these dudes that don't have a job. They don't have an executive job in the industry that it would have kept the culture in a good space.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of dudes. Why we got dudes that are legends that can't even get their foot in the game? We got dudes like OC and Jay Rue and all these other dudes. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's supposed to have a better footing in the game. And you got dudes that they see that was born from these white execs that's now calling the shots.
Mm, gatekeepers now.
That's now quote-unquote influencers over our culture.
Mm.
And that's because dudes, again, a lot of dudes like me are up top because they really rock with some of these rappers. These dudes that they took the name of MC and now they call themselves a rapper. And these dudes in federal prisons, dudes in state prisons, that's in there because they held these dudes down.
Mm.
And these dudes turn their back on them. You see what I'm saying? So they get quiet. They don't expose. You know, I'm not going to expose, you know what I'm saying, secrets that are damaging to these dudes. Because now these dudes is grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Most of these dudes' kids got kids. You see what I'm saying? So for me to have them look at their dad or their granddad in a different way because of secrets that I know as a G. You dig what I'm saying? I wouldn't do that to them. But when they see me, they better pay homage. And that's the only thing that get me tight. Mm. Is that these dudes act like I don't exist.
So let me ask you something. We hear selling your soul. We hear people getting their soul taken. What is selling your soul? Could you explain that to the people?
Selling your soul. Doing anything and everything. To get on, to get that bag, right? Your soul may be pure at one point, right? You may be somebody that's really down for your hood. You may be somebody that's really down for the culture. But in order to get that bag, you're going to water it down. You see what I'm saying? Instead mm-hmm. of being a MC coming through the door, you're going to transform into a rapper to now what you are. You're now a pop star in order to maintain that bag. It's to lose your integrity. That's mm-hmm. what selling your soul is. When you lose the integrity of the culture just to get in a different space. Mm-hmm. Now, some people have navigated the culture and navigated the industry because of how authentic the sound was. Like, for instance, we were speaking about the Wu. The Wu never had to water down anything and became pop icons. Mm-hmm. Same sound, same beats, same scratches, you know what I'm saying? Same bars. The culture came through them and met them where they were. So the only time they had to shift that integrity was maybe to maintain once the game went to a different space. Because we're talking about from 98 to 2001, the game went to a different space.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Now hip-hop is the major genre of music. So now in order to stay there, somebody had to sell a little something. You see what I'm saying? Because now the labels are gone. It's, instead of eight major labels, it's five. They broke it down to four. The vinyl and the CDs have been now replaced by technology and streams. So now you can't get to the bread the way you once could.
Mm.
Because now it's all centralized.
Yeah.
Until today, well, now we're living in a different era where these kids can really get on and start doing their thing themselves without going that route.
So, but even though some of them are getting on and doing their own mm-hmm. thing, don't you feel like some of them are still doing a lot of stuff strange for some change?
Well, we're in a generation now that strange is how they were born.
Wow.
They don't know it's strange.
Mm.
They was born into this little digital fantasy world of Avatar and live Pokemon and all. We didn't have that shit.
Yeah.
So it was different. We're from a generation that didn't even conceive this. We thought the Jetsons wouldn't be here, and now it's here.
Facts. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So the kids now, it's strange to us, but to them it's normal.
Mm.
Again, we got superstars of this culture that wasn't even born 9/11.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
So we can't critique them with the same measuring tool. You know what I'm saying? We have to embrace them. We got to meet them where they at and learn from them the way we want them to be taught by us.
How do we correct them? How do we correct them? Because once the dude is on that smack, once the dude is on them pills, and once he did them sexual favors for these executives, I don't know if I could. I they might have to just go on their own. I don't think I could fix them. The drugs you could get them off, but once they get turned out by that game, I don't know if I could fix them.
Well, those dudes are not the ones we try to fix. We try to fix the ones that's my daughter's 15.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying? 15 and under, you start from them because now you still have their ear. Mm-hmm. Once they men, you know what I'm saying, and doing man things, you know, such as allowing somebody to rub they biscuits and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You're a man now.
Yeah.
You made a man decision. So you can't really, it's hard to tell them to, yo, snap up out of it because they already know what they've done. That's why a lot of them losing their mind now.
Yeah.
Because they know it wasn't worth it. The integrity that you lost inside is too much.
Yeah.
And they chicks know it, and they parents know it. You know what I'm saying? We don't know because we don't know them. But those who are close to them know them. They're like, damn, son, you're moving a little funny.
Yeah. You also said to me behind the scenes that you believe that some of these artists getting killed is professional industry hits. Break that down.
It's happening too frequently.
Mm.
It's happening too frequently. Remember back when we was coming up in the mob, the mafia was doing hits. Right, you see a dude getting money, but you don't know that he getting his connect is the Italian mafia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Then he went and met some Latin dudes uptown, and they became the connect. Then you see your man ain't got no beef in the street, but he gets slumped.
Mm.
You dig what I'm saying? Because he went a different lane. I'm saying that these dudes is getting in this industry, and they're signing with certain people. And when they can't provide what the people thought they was providing them, they hitting these dudes. Mm. All these rappers that got hit, who owns them on paper, right? Because most of them don't deal with their family. Most of them ain't graduating high school. So when they sign something, you dig what I'm saying? Who owns that? Remember, we in a digital age now. We in the age of technology.
And their streams go to number one.
Right. Who owns those streams? Who can really say that we got him? Mm. And they getting plucked off as soon as they start getting money. As soon as they start getting visible. Because that's all you need right now is a little bump. One viral video, 10 million streams. They don't need you no more. And I'm saying that these dudes can't be beefing with everybody, or they can't have murder beef. Everything isn't murder beef.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not that many gunners. You understand? That's going to go all out in front of cameras broad and all this crazy shit, broad daylight, and put this work in unless they getting something on the back end. Mm. Or they just nuts. Two things Fidel Castro said you cannot get away from. It's somebody who's mentally insane, because if they send him at you, you just done. You're not getting around that. He said, but he don't worry about mercenaries, because mercenaries are paid. They want to get payment. So they're going to hesitate when they put that work in. Mm. These dudes is off their rocker. Mm. And I'm telling you, all these dudes can't have that much beef. These are industry hits. Mm. These are people that's saying that, okay, we can't feed ourselves no more. We're in a pandemic. We're in an economic collapse. Hollywood is done off. And these dudes is getting bread. We got to find a way that we're going to eat off of this system. And that's what they're doing. Mm. That's what they... It's too frequent, dog. It's too frequent.
Yeah.
Come on. We got a whole generation. And I'm talking about, I know for absolute fact, our generation, that 9-5, 9-6, 9-8, a lot of them MCs done got dudes up north with numbers and ratted on dudes and all that. And they still walking around.
Facts.
They still walking around. So you cannot tell me that these little dudes who are 18, 19 that got murder beef like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because like how you ain't even lived long enough to have
you
crazy
ain't even lived long enough
yeah.
to have murder beef like, and you ain't been getting bread. You just coming up out of the being dusty age.
Yeah.
You just getting on.
Noodles and noodles, baby. Yeah, yeah.
And they want to finish you like that? This is industry related.
Yeah.
This is industry related.
So let me ask you something. Whatever happened to Miss Jones? What happened to her? And what happened to, like, why did she, we just never saw her again? In your opinion?
In my opinion, it was a lot of beef with the label. She was on the label.
Stepson?
She was on Steps on Bill Stephanie label. Uh-huh. She wasn't happy. I know at one point I tried to orchestrate a deal to get her up out of that. Mm-hmm. One time I had a chick that was working up in Sony. It was rumored that they wanted an R&B chick, right? So I put the bug in her ear. You know what I'm saying? She was like, okay, set the meeting up, right? Okay, I'll go set the meeting up. Instead of her holding that down, she went to him. She went to Stephanie and just went in on him. Mm. I'm off of this label. I'm having a meeting. Da, 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 da. You know, because, you know, again, artists do what artists do. At that point, you know, he's on him. You know what I'm saying? He ain't had no other out, so I guess he went to his man. Remember, that's Russell's right hand.
Yeah.
They in each other weddings and all that, and my thing is he got the lawyers on her and shut that shit down. So I don't know how the relationship went after that, because immediately after that, I went up north. Mm. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that was it. The last video shoot I was on was Meth and Mary, All I Need. You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was the last video shoot I remember being in the town. AZ did Sugar Hill. And after that, I was gone. So now all this momentum, all these dudes are doing. Remember, I did almost a decade. Mm. So by the time I'm coming home, dudes, it fell off.
Wow. Yeah.
I seen dudes' entire careers from behind the wall. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So she burned out right after that. She never went nowhere. You know, by the time I got up north, I had a few years in good. I'm hearing her on the radio and stuff, but it was no reason other than me knowing that she wasn't happy with the label. She had too many people in her ear. You dig what I'm saying? And because talent-wise, none of them could see her. Mm. None of them. I seen her do a 2-week run, shows every night, voice never cracked, high energy, people loving her. You know what I'm saying? Very personable. No reason why she shouldn't have been on another level. But again, she didn't know how to play that industry game or didn't have it in her to play the game. You know what I'm saying? People get frustrated when you got these execs telling you you're going to get this, you're going to get that, and you don't get it.
Let me ask you something, because you said something that's very, very instrumental, playing the industry game. Because I had somebody say to me before, oh, you don't want to play the game. And I had to explain to them, I'm not playing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not playing. So I don't, and in any industry game that I think you might be talking about, I'm not of that caliber. You know what I'm saying? And it was a female trying to say, yo, you don't want to play the game. And I'm like, yo, nah, the game that I think you're talking about, I'm never going to play that. So yeah, it's going to be a little,
that's what it,
yeah, it's going to be a little, it's going to take a little longer for me. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle, but I'm going to get it the right way. Cause ain't nobody taking, I'm not going to be less than a man for fame. You know what I'm saying? So explain what playing the game is.
Well, that's what it is. Playing a game is media training, learning how to speak, learning how to walk, learning to how to have these meetings. You understand? Sharpening you up. You know, they want to make you nice and shiny and new, so you are easy on white eyes, easy tone to white ears. You see what I'm saying? That's playing the game, smoozing. If you got to go to this party over here, if you got to, you know, sniff a little coke with them, you know, this is things they like, you know, and yeah, it's okay, but tighten your shirt up. You know, we got to show you how to dress, how to stand.
That William Morris Agency stuff.
This is playing the game.
Yeah.
This is playing the game. And if you can't do it, you know what, you know, you need to fix your teeth. You know what? Your breast could be a little bigger. You know what I'm saying? Show a little cleavage. You know, oh, they like to party every Sunday. They have wild parties. You need to go. That's playing the game.
Yeah.
That's playing the game. And a lot of your favorite rapper dudes play the game. Yeah, sometimes them games be real freaky. Some real crazy shit. And you looking around like, son, why is this dude always around you like that?
Yeah. Because
weird shit.
Because I want to let people know, from the hood, we always had, every hood got gay dudes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, every hood got gay dudes. Some of them knock you out too. Some of them get busy. But we didn't hang with them. They did their own thing. But when you hit the industry, it always became, it started becoming like standard. They was there. And you couldn't get around them. You know what I'm saying? Like they was, you know, you might go and he got the guest list. So you go to the door and you talking to him. You know what I'm saying? And this is not even about disrespecting them. It's just how they just took over the industry. And I always wondered, why do they have so much power over this industry?
They didn't take over the industry. They were the industry. This is what you were stepping into.
Facts.
Little Richard told people that. You see what I'm saying? This been it from the game, from the gate. There's a book that I want your audience to try to get if they can. It's called Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition. Right? This book tells you what being gay was all the way back in England before it even got over here.
You said pirates. What's the treasure called?
Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition.
No, I said, for pirates, what's the treasure called? Booty.
A booty. what do you think a cabin boy is?
Oh, wow.
What do you think a cabin boy is? Remember, it took months to a year to get here back then from them ships. Why do you think the cabin boy was only one in there with the pirate, with the captain? That was his little box.
Wow.
It wasn't no women on ships because women were bad luck on ships.
Yeah, they thought women were bad luck, period.
They thought women would make the ship sink. Mm. So who was they dealing with for a year? Most of the pirates was leaving Europe were dirty, dingy. The king wasn't coming over.
You
had the criminals. You had those who had no bread. Those were your pirates.
The president. The president of the United States. The president, George Washington, and them was coming over.
Yeah, these dudes is beast mode.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So when they established Hollywood, Hollywood wasn't looked at as a cultural spot. It was a spot with, here, y'all in the desert, y'all want to play theater games and go over there. That wasn't no high intellectuals. That wasn't the military and strategics. No, that was where y'all dudes go to play because y'all in the theater, y'all, you know, fairies. So that was what Hollywood was. And out of Hollywood, you get movies, TV, and the music industry. So it was always there. They didn't take it over. They just allowed a lot of others to come in. And when you're allowing black men to come in, you got to put them in a space where you can control them. Mm. How else can you control a black man other than taking his butt?
Yeah.
Because if you starve him out, he's going to find a way to get money. You can't discredit him because he's intelligent. He knows the game and he has talent. So he could just go elsewhere and do it on his own. So how else you gonna control this strong black man? You gotta humiliate him and you gotta win him over to your side. How you do that? So it's always been there. It's just that it wasn't as prevalent in hip hop because remember they thought it was gonna be a fad.
Yeah.
Once they started making money. Once they saw dudes like Master P and No Limit and Jay Prince and Uncle Luke doing what they was doing, oh no, hold on, we got to stop this.
Mm-hmm. We got to create 360 deals. We got to do stuff to be able to take all the money. Yeah, shit
because these dudes are now, they're in a position of power. Now they so entrenched in their hood that they can make proper movements in the hood and they can eventually get their people up out of a hood mentality. So we got to put the brakes on it. The best thing that ever happened to them was Sean Fannin and Napster because what it did was create a new tangible. You dig what I'm saying?
That they didn't know about. And now you could sell your music on Napster now. Napster is one of the streaming platforms now. They was trying to get rid of it.
Right. But
he came with a technology that they was like, hold on, no, maybe we could learn from him with this file sharing and this of torrents and all that stuff like that. Yeah,
and look when it popped off. It popped off after they see P and these dudes taking 30 million and flipping it into 100 million and selling and saying, okay, the label only gonna print up a million CDs, but I got these African dudes and they putting up 5 million CDs and we sell them hand to hand on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It was we gotta stop this.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta stop it. And the surefire way to stop it is to effeminize these dudes. You see what I'm saying? So now you can't go at it. You push P and them out. You push Jay Prince and them out. You push all these dudes out that's giving the hood the game, and you put all these funny style execs in the way.
Mm.
And instead of them having the army, dudes like us, because we behind the wall, they took all of us out in 9, 3, 4, 5, 6. They swept all of
the whole warrior class.
We part of that. Yep. We part of that super predator and them bills that Biden and them pushed through.
Oh, we gonna talk about that on another show. We gonna talk about that another show. We gonna talk about that because I want people to know.
That's what kills hip hop.
Yeah, before the people don't know, you are author. Let them know where they could get your book right now.
Get my book on Amazon, Kindle. You know, download it. That's where I got it right now. Amazon, Kindle.
What's the name of it?
Either book. You could get the All-American Justice System Handbook, which is a handbook that gives you everything about the justice system from A to Z.
Mm.
From arrest to post-release.
All-American Handbook by?
The All-American Justice System Handbook.
Okay. I'll make sure that's in the description box. Go ahead.
Get that. I'm telling you, you want to know how to work out. You want to know who to work out with. You want to know how to work the law library. You want to know how to get your clothes. You want to know how not to deal with the COs. I go from the island to up north to how to deal with the court system.
And hopefully they don't go to prison, so they won't have to learn this. But just in case they do, you know, get jammed up. And you know, because sometimes the police be putting stuff on you, too. We're going to talk about that in another show. Many people that's in jail actually ain't guilty. You know what I'm saying?
Or they got family members who try to figure out how they could better be supportive of the people in there.
Got you.
You dig what I'm saying? It's equipped with a book list, too. So this is how he get his head right, or she get her head right while she in there, to make that change and never go back. I've never been back.
Yeah. Facts. And
I got 16 years in the town, never had a handcuff on me. I ain't been cuffed since 95.
Knock on wood. So also, I want people to know that you work in a trauma center too. You worked in the ER. We're gonna do another show on that.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't want people to think that you on here just some talking head. Nah, this man really in the community, and he's seen some of the horror stories. What are some of the organizations that you work with?
I worked for Man Up Inc., and that's when I was doing the Cure Violence work. That's what had me. And Cure Violence is a program out of Chicago that deal with strictly gunners, people who we know in the hood are the shooters. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying? So we get to them to transform their mentality. And if you get to the shooter, the rest of the dudes is going to follow. So that reduces the crime, reduces the murder rate and the shootings anywhere. Mm-hmm. So this is where I was dealing with that. And that's how I was in the ER. I was a hospital responder. So I actually worked soon as the call come in, soon as they bringing them in the hospital. If they make it, I'm right there. If not, I provide resources for the family. So I worked that for 4 years.
So you've seen now, people come in shot, stabbed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that made the news in Brooklyn over them 2 years, 3 years that I was in that ER?
You was in Kings County?
I was in Kings County.
Oh, whoa. Know how I knew what you was talking about. You said the trauma center, that's Kings County. Yeah. In Kings County, you ain't going to make it home with Kings County most of the time. Most of the time when you went to Kings County, you was it was over for you. You was DOA most of the time.
Yeah, a lot of it. So I held those fathers, those grandparents, those mothers when they loved one didn't make it. You know, and it get ugly. I'm right there. I see them with their head open. I see them with their chest open. Then I got to go and console a family and things of that nature. You know, I did that for a minute, you know, which is strange because I was there when Tekashi was supposedly kidnapped. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? But I never got the call. Mm. So I'm like, well, who was in the hospital when he came through?
Mm.
Who took the picture? Because I'm the one you're supposed to call. Why? He was gang affiliated. He was supposedly injured. You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They were saying all type of shit that he got stabbed and cut. So I'm the one you call. Mm. I'm the responder. Never got the call. And he was in and out. So it was always suspect to me. You know what I'm saying? That whole scenario. So either it really happened and these dudes is up top for it, or it didn't happen and that was another industry plant.
Got you.
You see what I'm saying?
I want to talk about, we going to do another show. Before we get up out of here, because we got like the hour mark. Could you give them, I need you to give them all your social media. I need my audience to be able to follow you. They don't know how much, like I said, this is a man who, upon me meeting with him and building with him, this is somebody that I personally seek counsel from. And it's times you call me like, yo, how do I handle this? Am I bugging? And we have called each other when we was about to jump off the ledge and say, yo, bro, talk to me. Let me know, am I tripping right now? So this is what we do for one another. And like I said, he's older than me. So I call him for counsel plenty of times. I'd be like, yo, bro, am I tripping? How should I handle this? He said, yo, this, that, and the third. And I remember one time you called me like, yo, I'm hot right now. And I think I'm about to go back in. Tell me something good. And definitely. I was like, yo. And so that's what we do for one another. And I think more black men should have a circle where you could call one of your homies and your homies say, yo, chill. Because you never told me, nah, get that pistol and go put in that work. You always told me, yo, leave that alone or we'll fix it later. We'll find a way to get back to it later on, or we'll handle it. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa.
Because that's what we, that's what we do inside. Mm-hmm. So if you do that inside, you damn sure need to do it outside to prevent your homies from even going through. You see what I'm saying? So, and you know, I'm an anger management specialist, and I deal with dudes who come through with ACS cases and domestic violence cases. So I give them parenting skills, anger management, and talk them through getting up out of that ACS case. You see what I'm saying? So it's a lot that I have under my belt that I'm certified and trained in doing, because we need each other.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
People
yes.
think that you can do this shit alone. You can't.
Nah, and
we're dealing with a big, crazy monster.
Yo, and we've right known now, each other like for years, and like this is our first show, but I remember you called me the other day on some counsel for a move that you was trying to make, and I said, nah, blah, 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 because that's going blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? So me and you, we build a lot on, we don't gossip. We don't gossip. Yeah. We talk on like real major political stuff, stuff that's going on in the streets, stuff that's activism, because we're going to get into what real activism is, because you are actually an activist, and you come from the, like you said, you come from the Nation of Gods, the Earth, early on, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to do another show, you know what I'm saying? And really, really, you know, I just wanted to give them your background, you know what I'm saying? Give them your background so they can know a little bit about you, your previous, and then we're going to bring them to the present. You know what I'm saying? So give them all your social media, though.
My social media is all public. I'm Kareem Johnson on Facebook. Kareem Blizz Johnson on Instagram. That's BLIZ. On Instagram, I believe it's BLIZ _ENY Brooklyn.
Yes.
Twitter, Kareem Johnson, same thing. All my social media, I'm on social media all day, every day.
and you do your Facebook live streams a lot. Yeah,
and I make sure my fathers that I consult with through my work always have access to me. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm not one of these hounds that's not accessible or just talking the talk. You know, I see people in the street all day, every day, seeking counsel, and that's what I do. Because if I can't allow people to survive off of my experience, off of my L's that I took, then what good am I? You see what I'm saying? That's part of the work. And I'm trying to make sure that these kids don't fall victim to this dumb shit of what they call in the industry or what they call in street life. You dig what I'm saying? It's not real. I've been all over the world with this shit, man.
You dig what I'm saying? Literally.
Everywhere with this shit. I've been in Europe for years. You know what I'm saying? Watching hip-hop and things of that nature. You know, I am well-versed in it. And I don't, you know, I'm not holding it. But I want you to know the truth. You dig what I'm saying? Not this bullshit that these dudes are fabricating or not telling you.
Gotcha. Because
it's a whole lot that they're not telling you. A whole lot.
So they could also see more of you, the Kareem Johnson story. If they Google that, you on YouTube with that. You did that years ago. You on Fly Newbie and Queen right now. Doing a live stream with a sister over there. You just did some today. You did some yesterday. So I just want y'all to put his name. Y'all see his name on the screen. Put his name in the Googles. And I definitely will have his Instagram on under this video. As soon as the video processes and we sign out, y'all could go to his gram and really holler at him and build with him and get in tune with him, because he got a lot of information. And listen, this man don't get no donations. He told me he don't even do it for the money. He don't even put up his Cash App. He don't do a lot of stuff. He just really on some.
Yeah, none of that.
Yeah. So, but you know.
Yeah, my Cash App stay on zero.
Yeah.
My Cash App stay on zero. Because again, information, especially information that people can use to change the tangible things in their life, should be free. People gave it to me for free. This is information. So what do I look like asking for a donation? Man, I got a day job. I do what I do. But when it comes to changing the conditions of my people, I show you the way.
No, that's
I show them the way. and definitely how to navigate this industry. I want most of them to know, don't mess with that, man. There's some strange shit behind them offices.
It's the Wizard of Oz for real.
It's the Wizard of Oz for real.
Yeah,
and a lot of time, they ain't got no lube. So y'all keep playing with these crackers if you want to.
Mm-hmm. So, yo, bro, you froze real quick. There you go. You back on. You've been freezing. Not too much, but it's. Hopefully, you know, if y'all could, thumbs up this video. Please share this video. This is my big bro right here. On the way, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing me and you got in common. MREC used to tell me all the time, yo, you be teaching dudes a lot and they don't give you nothing. Mm-hmm. And I used to say to them, yo, REC, I can't die with it. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta give it, you know? And then look at how me doing the interviews the way I did them sparked the whole industry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It sparked the whole, because you call me sometimes like, yo, hold on, man. I see a lot of dudes really, really copying and pasting you. You know what I'm saying? But
every day.
Yeah. You call me sometimes like, yo, I'm tired of saying, I ain't watching nobody no more. I might as well just watch you. You know what I'm saying? If they gonna copy like that.
That's what they gonna do. Because again, you can't get away from the real.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You can't get away from it. And I remember, I'm telling you, the first person I saw doing this stuff here, man.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for you, a lot of them wouldn't have a platform, period.
That.
And most of them know who I'm talking about. I don't want to call them no names. But if it wasn't for you, nobody would even have seen any of them.
Facts. Because I put a lot of people on. But for you, like I said, me and you, it's even weird interviewing you because we talk. This is our conversation. People don't know. This is what we talk about on the Jack. And it was time. Right. Man, you might have been on the phone for like 7-8 hours just talking.
Yeah,
to, remember the time the phone died? The phone just died. Like, that's it. Yeah, the phone just died. Like, yo, I guess his phone is dead. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. So I'm going to sign you out. Give him the social media one more time.
Kareem Johnson on Facebook, Kareem Bliz Johnson, BLIZ on Twitter, BLIZ double underscore ENY Brooklyn on Instagram, and you know, whatever else they got out there, I'm on all of it. Some of them I don't frequent, some of them I do, but I'm definitely on Facebook every day and IG.
Give them the book again, the book.
The book is the All-American Justice System Handbook. The All-American Justice System Handbook is on Twitter. It's on Amazon Kindle. You dig what I'm saying? Download it. And I also have From the East, an adolescent account.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just a little piece from 86 to 88. My little...
He froze. You froze. Damn, he froze. All right, his phone might have died. That's how long we talk, y'all. Y'all got a little taste of our conversation. I think he froze. So, I'm going to make sure his information is in the description box. Again, if you need promo for me, info@doggydiamondstv.com, email me. I'm Doggy Diamonds, man. This is Doggy Diamonds TV. If you can, before you go, please hit that like button. We need more videos like this to go viral. I know y'all like a lot of the other videos that be going on, but I need videos like this to go viral because I feel like it's going to be something feasible and information in here that you could take away. So we on 500 likes right now. Could you at least get me, you know, to 700-800 likes? And a lot of times, you know, people who dislike, it's just that they don't like me. You know what I'm saying? They don't even know what we talking about. They'll just hit dislike because they see me, because dudes is weird. But I thank all of y'all for being here tonight. I thank everybody who might have donated. I thank everybody for rocking with us. We had a lot of people in here tonight. And if you like what you see, show the appreciation. And I'm going to bring him back on. Also, I want to make sure my bro got his own platform so he could build with y'all. He don't got to go through me. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that he got his platform. So I want to work on some stuff for him, but I need y'all help. You know what I'm saying? The only way I could get y'all help is by y'all viewership, by y'all hitting that bell. You know what I'm saying? And why y'all really, really, you know, I dropped two on y'all today. I re-uploaded the Benny the Butcher interview. And I did this today with the bro. I just hit him randomly too. So I thank y'all for joining me. I thank y'all for being here. That's my bro right there. His name is Bliz Kareem Johnson. And he definitely puts in a lot of work in the community. And the next show that we do, I want him to explain to y'all what community work really is and what it is and what it means to be an activist and what activism is. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. Share this to your Facebook. Share this to your Twitter right now. You could share it to Twitter. Take a clip of it. Put it on your Snap. Put it on your Instagram. Do what y'all do with, like, when y'all see a fight video. You know what I'm saying? Do what y'all, when y'all see a fight video, y'all do those type of things. We need more enlightenment, you know, going on. So it is what it is, man. I'm Doggy Diamonds. I'm about to get up out of here. I will holler at y'all on the flip side. You know what I'm saying? I got to drop the rest of the... Oh, the YouGuard interview too. Please go watch the YouGuard interview if y'all didn't watch that. You know, that's dope. The YouGuard interview. And it is what it is, man. I thank y'all for joining me. I'm Doggy Diamonds. I have to go. I'm about to get up out of here. And I will holler at y'all later on, man. Peace. Make sure y'all subscribe, you know, and hit that bell. I'm out of here. Peace. All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Did this.